Greetings, I'm Bill Kladke, and I'd like to welcome you to today's edition of Living in Baltimore. Our guest today is Mike Kelly, who is Executive Director of the Baltimore Metropolitan Council. And Mike's here to talk to us today about transportation planning, about environmental enhancement, and various things in terms of our region. So, Mike, welcome to the show.
Hey, Bill, it's great to be here.
Well, it's good to have you, I'll tell you. It's been a long time since we've done this. First of all, for those of our listeners who are unfamiliar, could you please tell us a little bit about the Baltimore Metropolitan Council?
So the Baltimore Metropolitan Council is the regional council of governments for Central Maryland. And our board of directors includes the mayor of Baltimore City and county executives and commissioners from six outlying jurisdictions. And our main role is to help Baltimore City and its neighbor counties figure out how to program their share of federal transportation money. That's really why we exist. It's a big part of what we do. Uh-huh. And then in a lot of other ways, we help them plan for the future in terms of workforce development, emergency preparedness. We work with procurement and we work on fair housing issues. So the core duties all center around transportation. And then we help them cooperate on a number of other policy areas.
Yeah, I like to think of the Metropolitan Council as the glue that tries to get folks to work together closer.
Sometimes we're stickier than others, but that's about right. Yeah.
Great. How can someone find out more information about the council?
So the easiest way is to go to our website, which is www.baltometro.org. And you can find all sorts of information about BMC and about all of the programs that we manage there.
Great. And it is a good source of information, that's for sure. Could you tell our listeners a little bit about your background? You from Maryland?
So I came to Maryland in 1996 when I was a freshman at Loyola College, and I've been here ever since. I grew up in New England. And after school, I worked for a number of nonprofits in Baltimore City and went to law school and ended up at BMC as a place to sort of mix an interest in law and government together and hopefully do some good for our region.
You've been there like over 20 years now.
So I've been there, don't age me, I've been there since 2007 and I've been our executive director since 2015.
Ah, so you know, as we say in the trade, where all the bones are buried.
A few of them at least, yeah. Although if we're doing our job, there's not that much to bury.
That's right. That's right. I know that virtually every large metropolitan area, I guess every large metropolitan area, has some kind of regional cooperation. I guess it's usually a council, right?
That's right. So every urbanized area in the country, essentially a place of 50,000 residents or more, is required to be a part of a metropolitan planning organization, an MPO. And my entire life is acronyms. I can go days without, you know, uttering a vowel, but the MPO is the federally required board that spends this transportation money, and our job is to really serve as staff for our region's MPO, which is the Baltimore Regional Transportation Board, or the BRTB.
Uh-huh.
Those organizations have two main plans that they put out. One is the long-range transportation plan, which is anywhere from a 30 to 50-year vision of all the possible transportation projects that might get federal dollars. And then there's the Transportation Improvement Program, the TIP, which is a four-year capital plan, and that's where our region really comes together and figures out how to spend our federal dollars on the projects that are going to be built in the next decade.
So basically, the council serves as a way for the various counties in the city to work together in terms of the what's good for the region, right?
Yeah, absolutely. The issues that we face, first and foremost being transportation, they don't stop at jurisdictional lines.
Yeah.
So the federal government decades ago put in place these programs that require local governments to work together to make sure that we're getting the most out of our federal money when we spend it on transportation.
Yeah, and I know there are conflicts. There have been conflicts in the past, and I'm sure continuing about the juggling the needs of the different jurisdictions, because I assume they all would like to have their transportation be prioritized.
They do, but I think our jurisdictions also recognize that, you know, there's a million people in our region who go from one county to the other every day for work or for school or for appointments, and our system needs to serve everyone. And some of that system is public transportation. Some of that system is highways. Some of that system is our network of bike trails and pedestrian access. So the system really needs to meet the needs of everyone who wants to use it. And there's certainly tension over which projects should be prioritized, but we're lucky that our jurisdictions do a very good job of recognizing the greater good for the whole and making sure that each other's needs are taken care of.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. And I know that the way that the Transportation Board works is it also gets citizen input.
Yeah, public participation is a core component of what we do. And, you know, that involves sort of meeting people where they are, having public meetings. That involves a lot of comment on our plans. You know, we hear in planning all the time that I don't want another plan that sits on a shelf, but it's actually our job to develop those plans, and those plans are where projects start. And every time we put out a new document talking about a new project or program, we do everything we can to have the public weigh in on what they want to see about it, and we do our best to answer any questions they have. And all of that can be done through our website. If you go to www.baltimoremetro.org, and look for our public participation programs, it does a great job of directing you to the projects and programs that you're interested in.
Okay. I know that you're in the process of getting citizen input about various transportation issues.
Yeah, we are. We're in the early stages of developing a long-range transportation plan right now, and we'll be reaching out about that. We also have any number of programs in the short term happening. We're just as a couple examples, we're currently looking at a 6-mile bike and pedestrian trail in Baltimore County that connects the Guinness Open Gate Brewery with the Southwest Area Park and Patapsco Light Rail Station. We're looking for comments on that. We're looking comments on a region-wide bike plan. And then Resilience 2050, which is the name of our new long-range plan, is going to seek comments on every type of project in the region. So if folks want to have a voice and they want to weigh in, our website is the best place to do that.
Great, great. Let's talk a little bit about some of the other areas that you mentioned that the council is involved in. You mentioned fair housing.
Go ahead.
No. I was just going to say that ask you about what is the current status and what does it look like for the future?
So our jurisdictions, most of the members of our regional council, every jurisdiction that is what's called a HUD entitlement jurisdiction that receives direct aid from HUD is part of a fair housing work group at our office, and that's a place for the local government housing agencies and housing authorities to come together to plan out housing needs. Across the country, there are predictions of housing shortages coming up, and there's always a need for fair and affordable housing to meet the needs of families. So what our jurisdictions come together to do, they use us to gather data and information to help them make the best possible decisions. The other thing that our jurisdictions do is a report called an analysis of impediments. It's a HUD required document where jurisdictions need to do a self-assessment of the challenges they face in building more fair and affordable housing. And in our region, we do that at the regional level. BMC helps coordinate the project. And it's a way for the jurisdictions to really lay out what their needs are and they're really sticky issues and to start figuring out ways of trying to meet those needs.
Yeah, they are sticky issues. And I know that the public input on that is very important. Find out really what's going on.
It is. It's important to have public input on it. And it's also a big part of what we do is also education. Talking about who the residents of affordable housing are, talking about what the needs are, and pointing out that as you know, in our economy right now, where we have more and more jobs that don't pay as much as they used to, the need for subsidized housing is going to grow if we want people to still be able to fill these jobs that really our entire society relies on.
Yeah, and the question from a fair housing perspective is whether that new housing will be accessible, whether it will be convenient to good services, and whether it will be, period.
Yeah, it's important for fair housing, especially when you consider that the residents of affordable housing are often relying on public transportation be connected to the system, but it can't all be concentrated in one place. That's a national challenge that certainly has been highlighted in Baltimore. And what's been going on for the last 20 years is this deconcentration of affordable housing, which is great for the residents, but a lot of times it can face challenges in communities that haven't had affordable housing before. And a lot of what we do is trying to educate those communities about what the impacts are and are not, and about why it's important to have this housing everywhere. But the fact is it does need to be connected. It needs to be accessible. And it needs to be included in places that offer opportunity for families.
Indeed. Can the public access, and how could the public access the fair housing plans?
So that's also on our website, www.baltometro.org. If you go into our community planning section, you can find all of our housing work and read more about what we're doing in that area.
Yep. Yeah, it is comprehensive. You also talked about workforce development, and that has, of course, ties to a lot of things. What is the council doing in that area?
So our main role is to provide data and information for our member jurisdictions. So we do a lot of labor market analysis. And what we will do is look at our economy at large or look at individual sectors and try and identify the jobs that will be most attainable for people without a bachelor's degree. There's a term that we've coined called family supporting jobs, which are jobs that are accessible to someone without a college degree, a four-year degree, that also pay over $22 an hour. It's a relatively small part of our labor market. It's only about 14% of the jobs, but those jobs are critical for families to try to find financial stability and start the process of building generational wealth. And so what we've done is identify those jobs, where they are, the industries they're in, the jurisdictions they're located in, and then we try and support our county and other economic development offices as they try and grow the number of those jobs in the region.
And that definitely involves transportation planning.
It certainly does. I mean, the nexus of housing, transportation, and workforce development is absolutely critical to successful regions and successful places.
Yeah. And I guess we've all read about the mismatch, which I guess is something that is always with us, where the people looking for jobs are not located in the same area that the jobs are.
No, that's right. One of the challenges that Baltimore has faced is that our job growth is largely in suburban places. The employers are going to the places where they can build and develop their offices the cheapest. And a lot of times that's outside of the urban areas. So getting workers to the places they have to be physically to work is going to be more and more of a challenge. The other challenge that we're facing as a society is still figuring out what work looks like in a post-pandemic world. Offices have reopened, but not everyone is open 5 days a week. And making sure that all of our residents have access to the internet, which is really the new office, is another piece that we're going to be looking at in the next 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, very important. And the council certainly has a great role in that. Unfortunately, though, Mike, we're just about out of time. Could you give us the contact information one more time, please, for the Baltimore Metropolitan Council?
Sure, Bill. It is www.baltometro.org.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much. And unfortunately, that is all the time we have in Living in Baltimore today. I want to thank our guests, Mike Kelly, who is Executive Director of the Baltimore Metropolitan Council, for being our guest today. Thank you, Mike.
Bill, thank you. This is great.
Keep up your good work for all of us. And for living in Baltimore, I want to thank you for tuning in. Let's try to be a good neighbor out there in all of our neighborhoods, and we'll see you next time.